Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. A little delay there in getting Dave on, but I knew he would come eventually. Good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for joining me. This is such a beautiful day. I'm probably going to be a little tongue-tied today because of a couple of different things. First, the day started out to be kind of unusual. Took my son to a dental appointment, and they looked at me as if I was from planet Uranus. They said, Miss Hennessy, you're not scheduled until tomorrow. It's okay. It was right down the street anyway. And I'm a little excited, not discombobulated, because of David T. Stevens, a guitarist from my hometown of Philadelphia. Actually, guitarist, producer, CEO, engineer, has traveled, has been part of the Trinity Broadcast Network house band. He's got a gospel background, a jazz background, R&B, has his own studio in Philly. Woo! Just really nice to be able to talk to him. But let's kick off this show, shall we? Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy starts with somebody that it's just a kick to be able to play, and that's the beauty of this kind of show. You're bound to hear anything. This is coming at you, Pharoah Sanders from 1982. Heart is a Melody. Yeah. Enjoy it. Enjoy the whole 2 hours, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
cannot find the reason why I missed my chance. And now the flame grows dimmer still. All my years become some strange hypnotic trance. Back then,
voice of Charmaine Clamour from the Philippines. Actually, if you want to get specific, from Zubic Zambales, Philippines. That's from her Something Good CD from just last year. Every Single Moment, the name of that song. And Charmaine Clamour is one of those earth-shatteringly beautiful women who's as beautiful inside as she is outside. Life is just not fair. I have learned so much from this lady. I have learned about the Jazz Society of the Philippines. I have learned about how Filipino women sometimes view themselves. I have heard some stories from Charmaine of what the perception is of women in the Philippines, these beautiful creatures who constantly want to change themselves because they don't think that they're beautiful enough. And Charmaine is being a real activist in that regard, and that's one of the reasons why her music shines so bright. There's always this truth there because she's so passionate about people. Such a lovely, lovely gal. What she does is this. When she was a little one, she used to travel on the bus from her hometown to Manila. This was a regular thing she did with her mom and the family. And her mom used to sing kundiman, torch songs, in, what is it, Tagalog? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Charmaine had that inside of her, and what she wanted to do was blend those folk songs that she heard into a kind of new jazz. So everywhere she goes, she packs a place. She's marvelous to look at, marvelous to hear, and you're going to be hearing a lot more of her. Trust me when I say. Keiko Matsui, we heard before Charmaine. Flashback, the name of that song, from 2004's Wildflower. Considered one of the best that Keiko has done, and there's been a number of CDs that this beautiful young woman has done. Such a great instrumentalist, such a great conveyor of what is beautiful and what is longed for in her tunes. Now, she is touring in the support of her new effort called The Road, but she's also doing something that's wonderful. Her music is, for sure. She is in conjunction with many of our friends, including Hiroshima, for the Motherland Project. Now, Dan Kuramoto, the other day when he was playing at Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland, he said that they figure that things will not get back to normal in Japan because of the devastation there for another 50 years or more. So, the Motherland Project is an effort from so many people to try to give back and give back to Japan. And you can go to keikomatsui.com, and you can go to hiroshimamusic.com and find out so much about how you can help. This is so cool. And another thing that's cool is Keiko is going to be at Ram's Head on the 16th of October, my birthday. Have no idea what to do. Esperanza Spalding is in D.C. on that day. Rehoboth Beach Jazz is also alive and well and kicking. And Sonny Rollins is going to be at the Kennedy Center in Washington on the 10th of October. What to do, what to do, where to spend money. Hopefully people will give lots of money. Keiko Matsui, who is going to be on Cool Jazz Conversations, the show that I co-host with creator Joy Hall, this coming Monday, so don't miss that. Pharoah Sanders to start things off. What a way to go. Heart is a Melody of Time. Hiroko Song, another name for that. Live from Keystone Corner in San Francisco back in 1982. Yes, our little free jazz guru is going to be 71 on October 13th. Uh-huh. Received his name, by the way, from Sun Ra. I just found that out recently. Thought that was fascinating. Pharoah, of course, doing his sex thing. On keys, William Henderson, bassist John Hurd, the drummer Idris Muhammad. And the song is actually a new look at Pharoah's creator, the classic, The Creator Has a Master Plan. On this CD as well is a 22-minute take of Coltrane's Olé, which is just astounding. Not much is happening if you go to pharoahsanders.net. You see a lot of tour dates in 2010, but not a lot for this year. However, he has been invited to do Nightmare Before Christmas, the annual festival in England, this December, so we'll keep you posted. We always like to make sure that our legends are intact, because what we have of them, we have to absolutely revere. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Just delighted to see our guests in the chat room. We've got our sister friend from Texas. Always nice to see Griselda in the house. She was there last night when we entertained, or rather, should we say, got entertained by Phil Perry on Cool Jazz Conversations. Let us continue. This is a marvelous guitarist. Tom Lagana who was from the Annapolis area, and he does straight ahead really well. We just love that. Everything is welcome here at Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is something from his Schematic CD released last year. Speaking of guitar players, David P. Stevens coming up at the top of the hour. Don't miss out on that. Tom has a real neat take on the classic All or Nothing at All. Check this out. Enjoy. Oh, it's so good to be able to introduce new music to you. Thank you.
primavera. Cara esperanza, mi leva te, otoño, quebrando.
Sure, what kind of a way I can convey to you how much of a pleasure it is to be able to give to you three in a row artists that are all locally based. Just love that. Felicia Carter on vocals, backed up by Amy Shook on bass, from a new CD called Nothing to Do. What you heard was Winter's Wait, otherwise known as Esperando. Music and lyrics by Felicia Carter, Portuguese lyrics by Felicia Carter and Inez Pereira, and Donato Silveiro played on the guitar. So beautiful. Amy Shook on bass, Bob Butta on piano, and Frank Russo on drums. Felicia is a DC-based artist, and Felicia's been around for a while. She was in the theater and rock scene in Baltimore back in the 90s. Felicia and Amy got together. They collaborated on music for a PBS documentary and were tickled by their chemistry, so they formed Shook Shack Productions. And it's so cool to be able to go to their websites, FeliciaCarter.com, AmyShook.com. The stories on both of them, the accolades on both of them, just magnificent. We're such champions of women these days and the fact that they are doing it. Well, I'll say, and more. On the 10th of October, they're going to be part of the Stoop Storytelling Stories at Center Stage in Baltimore, and they're going to be doing a holiday project, actually a few of them at Center Stage, just lovely music that they're creating with some of the best artists in town, just wonderful. Speaking of which, Ken Navarro, we heard, from his Dreaming of Trains CD, The Stars, the Snow, the Fire, stellar folks, of course, on that, Ken doing nylon string, electric mandolins, keyboard, and percussion on that particular track. Jay Rao on acoustic piano and acoustic bass. Tom Kennedy, Joel Rosenblatt on drums. Ken and I have corresponded. If you go to kennavarro.com, you will find out, as he does his blog and he's doing his podcast to let you in on what's going on, there is a new solo guitar project due in early 2012. So he just finished his last song, and he'll be doing this show to tell you more about it. So we're looking forward to that. Tom Lagana, we heard to start the set, All or Nothing at All from Schematic. Just a wonderful guitarist based in Annapolis. Personnel on that track, Tom Baldwin on bass, Dave Ballou on trumpet and flugelhorn, Todd Harrison on drums, featuring George Garzone on sax. TomLagana.net. There's another guy named Tom Lagana. You want to go to .net, okay, and find out more about these luscious artists that just produce such amazing music. You just want to run out and grab everything you possibly can. And that's the thing. We have to support these artists, because if we don't, what are we going to do about this genre? Hybrid jazz to me means everything under the same kind of roof, traditional, straight ahead, fusion, whatever you want to call it. But you know it when you hear it, and you're going to hear one of the kings right now. David P. Stevens coming your way in just about 15 minutes or so. In the meantime, shall we listen to David Sanborn from his 2008 release, Closer? This is Another Place, Another Time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Mercy, we do run the gamut here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Look out. magic, that song. Yes, indeed, Love is Still in Style. Fell in love with that song a few years ago when I heard it the first time around from David P. Stevens' CD called The Shed. And we're going to find out more about the retooled version of that song. Carol Riddick did those vocals the first time around. I'm sure there's going to be a story or two. Let us tell you, before we get to our special guest, what you just heard. Before Love is Still in Style, and yes it is, thank you very much, Marianne McCall, who was quite the gal singer, born in Philadelphia, can we hear it for Philly, 5/4/1919, passed away in 1994. What you heard was On Time, from a CD featuring the best of what Marianne did called You're Mine, You. The work from 39 to 1950. She sang for Tommy Dorsey, Charlie Barnett, Woody Herman's bands. In 1949, she won Downbeat's Reader's Poll for Girl Singer with Band. She was known for her real outgoing personality and the fact that she really did know how to sing, and she was sassy and sexy. Started off with Buddy Morrow's orchestra in Philadelphia. Married for a brief time, too, to Al Cohn. Marianne McCall. We heard, too, David Sanborn. I made a mistake. I said it was 2008. Closer is from 2005. You should know that at davidsanborn.com, it's the official community, David, didn't know this, is going to be doing a few dates at the Blue Note from the 4th to the 7th of October, also at Ram's Head in Annapolis on the 14th. 2 days before my birthday, honey, let me tell you something. That's going to be some kind of gift, and I have another one because David P. Stevens is on the phone with me. Hello, you.
Hi, how you doing, Trish?
I am better now. You are right on time. Mary Ann McCall would be so proud of you.
Thanks.
How are what is happening in your increasingly busy world? I'm reading notes about what you're doing. I really cannot keep up. Isn't that a blessing, huh?
It is. It is. Things are actually starting to heat up for me. Just signed a brand new management contract. Just off
Did
the
you?
Signed. Yeah. So that actually is a huge blessing because I'm one of those artists that has done everything by myself from the beginning. So, you know, managing, booking, producing, recording, the whole thing. I've been a one-man show for so many years, so it was great to finally have a team.
Oh, that's wonderful, because I know that you were searching, so you found the right folks.
Yes, I found the right. I'm with a company called Paradigm Management now.
Wonderful. Good for you. Things are going well so far, are they?
Yes, so far things are going great. Just signed a new record deal, contract with 111 East Jazz Records, and just a lot of great things are happening.
Oh, my gosh, all at once, too, because I know when I first heard about you, I guess maybe about 5 years or so ago, I thought, oh, God, here's a diamond in the rough. I'm a little scared when I hear this young man, because you're from Philly, you're from my neighborhood, and I wanted the best to happen for you, and now it's happening.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really a blessing. I'm really happy to about where things are going.
Well, now, tell me this. You know how much I love the chemistry with you and Carol Riddick, Love is Still in Style. Love that song. It just grabbed me from the get. So you have a new CD, and you retooled. Tell us about that whole scenario.
Well, basically, when I got signed to the label, I had a whole bunch of new music, and the label reps were saying, well, you know, we don't want you to put out a new album because we feel like The Shed never actually reached its full potential, never got to the amount of people that it should.
Wow.
So I said, well, you know, being a musician, being a producer, I said, well, I got to at least let me change some things. So I went in and remixed the song, redid all the music, actually, over again, and kept the same background, kept the same vocals all together, but there was a few other things that she added that I had taken out in the first pass that I left in this time. So it was
cool.
Wow.
And for folks who don't know your background, because it's pretty stunning, you started out early, and you were a traveling guy. Matter of fact, I had my memory refreshed on you, David, because not only do we have Philadelphia in common, but you also spent some time in Nashville. You want to tell folks about that? Because I love this little story.
Sure, sure. It's actually a funny story. I was I graduated from college. I went to the University of Massachusetts in Boston, the Boston campus. And I graduated, and my father was on me. Hey, son, you got to get a job. I mean, as soon as I graduated, no sooner than I touched down in Philadelphia, you know, he was waking me up that next morning. Okay, time to hit the pavement. So I ended up getting a job, and I was about 21, and I remember I was working at this place for about 6 months, and I stood in the mirror one day, and I was wearing this suit and this, like, blue tie, and I was standing in the mirror saying, man, I'm not a traveling salesman. This is ridiculous, whatever the job was at the time. So I said, you know what, forget this. And I made some arrangements and started calling around, getting myself together for Nashville. And I called my father and said, Dad, I'm quitting my job and moving to Nashville. Of course, he thought I was absolutely insane at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was a wonderful experience. I got there. I played in the house band at the Trinity Broadcasting Network for that entire year that I was there.
Wow.
And I did a lot of session work and stuff like that. So
you made a lot of connections in Nashville, because people don't understand. Nashville is a whole lot more than a country music town. It's a hybrid, if you will, just playing on the name of the show here.
Right.
You can find gospel outlets galore. You can find jazz places. You can find rock, anything you want.
Right, right. And I did mostly gospel while I was there, so it was great. And I actually, there too, I was able to do a lot of production and demos and things like that as well.
And your dad, I just, you know what you just said about your dad, who is Dr. David R.L. Stevens, who is a pastor and an author.
Right.
What you just said about your dad, now it has more weight than ever, because on your Facebook page the other day, you thanked your dad publicly for his support. For him to give you this kind of support means that he believes in the direction that you're going, doesn't he?
Yes, he really does, and he always has. He always has. He's always been such a blessing to me in my career. Even in the times when he thought, oh, man, you must have lost your mind. You mean you picking up and moving? You know, he was still supportive. So he's great. My father is a wonderful man.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you still have him around, because to have a dad like that, you know how many folks we both talk to, David, who never, you know, can't even relate to what you just said?
Definitely, definitely. So many people, so many of my friends who don't even know their fathers, so I definitely don't take it for granted.
I know you don't. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're the one who says a song can change a life. I love that expression that you had. I don't know where I found that quote, but I know you said it. And I know that you worked with some real heavyweights. I just want people to understand the length and breadth of what you've done, because you were part of the TBN house band. You've worked with Marvin Sapp, Ben Tankard, Lisa McClendon, Marvin Winans Jr. Who am I missing?
Let's see. Gail Johnson.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And actually, Gail is my label mate. We're on the same label. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's a lot of different people, but Gerald Veasley, Steve Cole is actually on my album as well. People like Alex Al, who actually he's a session bassist, but he's so well known in the music community. To me, it was like meeting an absolute superstar. I was starstruck playing
really?
With him. And, yeah, so that's wonderful. But, I mean, just a lot of different names.
And, I have to ask you, because I haven't been to Philly for a while. It used to be that my son and I would go and spend time with my mom. And my mom lived a good life. She was 98 when she passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
Great.
So we don't go up there as often. Give me your take on what the Philadelphia music scene is like, in particular how it is regarding jazz. What do you think, or what do you think will happen? Do you feel any vibes about what's happening in Philly?
Well, I'll say this. Number one, Philadelphia has some of the most exceptional and amazing musicians. And I'm not saying that just because I'm from here or anything like that.
I'm saying it
because I'll go to somebody's church or I'll go to somebody's club and I'll meet five new musicians who sound like they studied at Juilliard. I mean, it's unbelievable. Everywhere you go, it's just like in the water or something. And
yeah.
And there are jazz bands here who are just, I mean, amazing. One group offhand, D4, they're phenomenal. But what
really?
Happens, and what, yeah, and what I'm seeing is, though, the industry in Philadelphia is not very large. So everybody's always clamoring for the same spot. And
yeah.
you have some of the most talented people, but really no outlets. And so that's one of the things that kind of needs to be worked on in Philly right now.
Well, and honestly, I'll tell you this. I'm not sure if I shared this or not, but life can change on a dime. What you need, as we need in Baltimore and most of the cities in the U.S., because some of the jazz stations have gone, and honestly, some of those jazz stations needed to go because nobody took into account the fact that we need a local flavor for each of these cities. We don't need anything
right.
homogenized as far as that music is concerned.
Right.
So all we really need is one station to do well and play it all so that it's on a commercial terrestrial radio station and the other cities will follow suit. If you don't have any places that play the music, what are people going to do, you know?
Right, right.
It's like they turn elsewhere.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I know that WDAS, which is the R&B station here, kind of adult contemporary R&B station, they do have a smooth jazz format on Sundays. And,
oh, really?
They play. Yeah, and they really do a great job with some of their selections and everything. It's pretty diverse.
Well,
so,
wait a minute. That's new then, isn't it? Because didn't they change frequencies?
I'm not sure about the frequencies. I know it is new, though. It started about maybe it's been about a year.
Huh.
Maybe about a year.
So
yeah.
is it still all the way at the end of the dial?
Yeah, still 105.3, right? It's all the way at the end.
Oh, it's DAS that's doing that, not R&B.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. That's interesting.
It is.
They decided to do that on Sunday, huh? They played contemporary jazz. How about it?
Right, and they do for about maybe three and a half hours.
Well, okay, it's better than nothing, but I sure want to see something, and I know you do. It has to be a commercial station. It can't be a station that's a public broadcasting station because all of them that play jazz don't play it 24 hours a day. They just play
right.
it for like certain hours in a given day. And for folks to understand, it needs to make money, and that's how other stations are going to follow suit. So let me tell you something, David. We're trying real hard to make sure that folks who hear this mix, and hopefully this show will branch out to be 3 hours on Tuesday, 3 hours on Thursday. If people hear it, then somebody with money and means can say, hey, let's put what's here on a terrestrial station and start making some serious money for everybody concerned.
Right, and I believe it can happen again. It's just going to take, you know, the grassroots efforts of all of us to make that happen again.
You're right. You're right. And what about your management team? Does your management team take into consideration that you still have your studio in Philly? Are you going to be sent doing some tours now? What's on the agenda for you?
Well, right now they're trying to create the marketing strategy around the release of the new album. And so they have some pretty good ideas in mind about, you know, what they're going to do. And they do have, yes, they definitely keep in consideration that I have a family and I have a recording studio, you know, and production business. So, you know, I see probably a few tours in the summer and maybe some few things here and there during the year, major things. But, yes, they definitely are considerate to that.
Good. That's very cool. Well, shall we dip into something from the CD? And
sure.
I have the Jujack Hustle with Gerald Veasley. I've got This Love with Dion, and I'm going to check to see because we just played the retooled version of Love is Still in Style. Let me see here. I know that I also did the single. What is your record label saying about what maybe is the forecast for you? How do you see yourself? What do you want to do with your career? Do you have any particular dreams?
Definitely. I would love to be, not to just, just to throw it out there. As like Norman Brown has a career that I'm very interested in. I watch his career, I watch how he does things, and I like how he's had so much commercial success and appeal with his jazz albums. And so, I'm kind of looking to run in that same vein, and that's kind of the way the record company is kind of promoting it as well, so that I'm be able to get on some of those larger stages and do some of those same kind of venues that he's doing. And I don't say I'm not a copy of him, because I definitely don't feel like I have his style at all. But I definitely feel like watching his career and watching what he does, I really want to go move in that direction.
And do you see yourself being a part of? There are certain artists that I know that really like the interplay of being on the cruises. Do you foresee yourself doing that? Because you certainly are amenable to so many people's styles, but I know you want to focus on you and your career as leader of the band, correct?
Correct. I definitely, I wouldn't mind doing the cruises, but as a front man,
right.
And doing my own sets. Yeah, I don't think that, if opportunities come up, sometimes it's good to do some other things and branch out. But at this stage in my career, I really want to focus on being a front man. So,
well, I don't blame you, because you have paid your dues for a little bit, baby.
Thank you.
You really have.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to focus on this one from Uptown, This Love with Dion. Tell me about Dion.
Dion is my label mate. She's actually an amazing singer. She has an album out. She has a single that is... it's called Allergies, I believe, that is really doing well on the charts. Yeah, she's great. So you all need to look her up. She's on 111 East Neo. That's the name of her. The label I'm on is called BLG Music Group, and it has branches. So I'm 111 East Jazz. She's East Neo. And we got together and collaborated on this song. So this is Dion.
I really like this song. It's called This Love. David P. Stevens is our guest on Hybrid Jazz with Trish Hennessy. Check this out. Tennessee, David P. Stevens right there, This Love with Dion. That's a really cool little vibe. That is a happy song. Do you like happy songs as opposed to what kind of songs do you gravitate to? What are you writing these days or what are you feeling?
Well, I think I think all artists kind of tend to write in the moment. And that was that particular song. I think when I was writing it, it was a happy time with my wife and I, and
aww,
just was kind of reflecting and just enjoying it and just kind of trying to tell her, like, no matter, you know, how many things we have to do and our busy schedules and all that kind of stuff, and you know, I still love you as much as I did in the beginning. So you know, that was,
how long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 12 and a half years.
Oh, my gosh, that's great. And your children, because I know you are proud of that little boy.
Oh, I'm proud of all of them. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And they're
oh,
the greatest.
Oh, my
kids.
God. Oh, wow. Oh.
So, and,
do you get any
and
work done in the house?
That's funny that you mentioned that. Actually, we were just talking about that last night. I think, you know, you just end up learning how to survive all 4 hours of sleep and, you know, and making it work. but my thing, early on, I decided that I would always be an active father because I know sometimes God said, you know, that's not my role, but, you know, I make sure that I'm always present, that, you know, they always know daddy's here, daddy's, you know, not off somewhere.
Right. Well, you had a great role model, because one of the things that I found fascinating about you, David, is your dad wrote a book called Marriage, The Rules of the Game.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows, I guess it would be your dad. Wasn't that fabulous through the years to be able to absorb the kind of positivity that he showed you?
Yes, it actually was. And my father's interesting because he didn't push anything down our throats, you know, growing up or anything. He didn't force us to do anything, but just watching how he lived, you know, he's like the coolest guy in the world. You know, I could gush about my dad all day, but watching him just made us say, you know, I want to be like him. So me and, you know, my sisters and my brother as well, you know, all seem to follow his footsteps in some way or shape or form.
And did I see that your wife attended Harvard University?
Yes, she did. She is a graduate of Harvard University and just recently
wow,
a graduate of University of Penn. She's she's something else. She's
oh
amazing.
My gosh. And because I know that you have degrees in philosophy and African American studies, do you not?
Yes, yep, from UMass.
So you gravitated to a woman who was just as ambitious as you were, apparently.
Yes. Yes, so you can imagine.
Man, and what was her course of study?
She was a communications major, communications and public health. So she's actually a professor now. And, yeah, she teaches at a university here in the city.
That is pretty awesome. So I can imagine your schedules. What is that like on a day-to-day?
It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We have to have meetings just to schedule things in the beginning of the week. So it's pretty serious. But we make sure that with all our busy schedules that the kids still feel, you know, like we're there all the time. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to feel connected because, you know, people just take that kind of situation for granted, and you never can. The best relationships, you know this, are the ones with married couples anyway who, you know, when you have a marriage certificate, you assume that the person is going to be there, but you can't really ever assume. So you have to do the date nights. You have to keep the romance alive. You have to try. You can't ever give up trying. Am I right?
Right. You're right.
Oh. Right.
It's constantly something that you work on, but, you know, it's worth the work, definitely.
Well, you know, back in when I was in Nashville, I was doing country music, and it was when Johnny and June Carter Cash were still alive. So they would have these interviews, and just fascinated by June, who always kept her hair long because Johnny liked it that way, first of all. And then she would wake up in the morning, and the first thing she did was say, "What can I do for you today, John?" I just love that.
Wow.
That's the best,
that is nice.
Isn't it?
Definitely. That's
you know,
very thoughtful.
it's like dying to self every day.
Yes.
And that's part of a – because people forget that marriage is a covenant. So I always look to especially men and ask them about their marriages, because I know that you take it very seriously because you are a happily married guy and you've got these wonderful kids and this intensely full life. And other people are on the outside looking in going, "Oh my gosh, I would do anything for that." And
wow.
And you don't take it for granted, which is so cool.
Definitely not. Definitely, I thank God every day for it. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. So in a given day, give me the rundown for folks that don't know what this is like. A typical day for David P. Stevens. Tell me.
Wow. Typical day. Wake up at about 7 o'clock in the morning with the kids. Make sure everybody is dressed. And usually I'm the one that drops. Well, no. Now we just switched it. Okay. So wait, I'll give you. Okay. 7 o'clock. Get up. I get the kids ready. Get them in my wife's car. She takes them to wherever they have to go, and I'm usually right at the studio by 8 o'clock in the morning. At that point, I'm still building and doing construction on the facility, so at that point, I'm usually working like crazy from like 8 in the morning till 5 o'clock. But at the same time, answering phone calls, sending emails, sending texts, I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. And then usually around 6 o'clock, I pick everybody up, we go home, we eat dinner, and hang out with everybody till they go to sleep, and then I come back to the studio. I'm usually working at the studio or rehearsing or gigging or performing wherever, and usually until the wee hours in the morning. And then I'm usually home, get about 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and then I'm back at it again. So, and then typically Sunday, if we're all at my parents' house, you'll find me sleeping with my mouth wide open
in front of the Eagles game. In front of the Eagles game. Hey, listen, you might as well start sleeping through the Eagles games. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not going to do any Ravens-Eagles thing because I'm half purple, half green, but I'm a little concerned about the whole Michael Vick scenario, okay?
Yeah, Mike, I hope he's able to get healthy. I want him to be able
what,
to finish
what
up
is the story? I mean, it started off so strong.
I know. But I think it will return. You know, that's just how Philly is. We're fighters. We always fight back. So, you know, it looks bad right now, but, you know, in a couple more games, he'll be healthy. Everything will be fine. We'll be back to winning games again.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm optimistic.
Because let me tell you something, David. Everywhere I have gone, everywhere I have lived, Nashville, here in Baltimore, lived in Florida, lived on the Eastern Shore, people are scared of the fans in Philly.
Oh, with good reason,
right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think during the time when the Sixers were in the playoff series, this was a while ago. It must have been back in 2000 or something like that. I remember hearing stories of fans throwing batteries on the court. I mean, just goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean.
You know, yeah. we do not forgive very easily in Philadelphia, and that's sad. But, man, it's just so interesting that no matter where, and if anybody's a sports fan and I say I'm from Philadelphia, they go, oh, God, oh, my God, you grew up with that?
Yeah, it's pretty serious.
Hey, I'm proud of it. I'm proud.
Yeah, definitely. It's Philly tradition.
It is Philly tradition. And I guess when you get together with Gerald Veasley, I know that you talk about music, but you got to talk about sports too. How did that relationship come to be? Because he's on the CD.
Right. Actually, we don't get a chance to talk about sports because when I'm in the room with him, I'm listening. I'm not saying anything. He is a wealth of knowledge. And,
isn't he? Yeah,
I've actually booked time with him just to sit down and hear him talk, and he's very nice, and he's one of the nicest people you'll meet. And but the way that came to be, I worked with his keyboard player, who's actually an amazing producer also, Donald Robinson,
okay.
Who's done a lot of hits in Philadelphia. And he introduced me to Gerald, and I asked him, you know, Mr. Veasley, will you please come up to the studio to do some tracks? And I mean, I was so nervous, but, you know, everything in me was like, just ask. So when asked him to do some tracks, and he came upstairs to the studio that I was in at the time and just started playing. And it was amazing to watch, because to see somebody that talented right in front of you doing what they do, you know, it was amazing. So after that, we just kept in touch, and have remained friends since.
That's awesome. He was on the other show that I do, Cool Jazz Conversations, and you know he was talking about some stories. Wow, David! One of the things that he shared was when he was gone to U of P, he was studying to be a lawyer. His dad had passed away, who was so influential in his life. And while he was studying, he was turning to straight-ahead jazz to calm himself down, to feel like he was grounded again. And that's when he decided to get back full tilt boogie into music. He said, I can't do this law thing. I got to get back into music. He's so sensitive to people around him, and he's so helpful. This base camp, boot camp that he has been so remarkable in helping kids. Don't you love that?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, my bass player for my band is good friends with Gerald, and he works with him in the boot camp. So I've been hearing about it for years. Yeah.
You know, we talk about this all the time on the different shows about music education. Do you know what's happening in Philly in regard to that? I know that we're really trying in Washington, D.C. and in Baltimore to instill some music education. Is that a concern of yours? When you were coming up, when did you first get awakened to music?
Well, I got awakened to it by being in church, and there was a guitar player there who was just amazing. He's phenomenal. This guy has also been playing on so many albums, and his name is Darryl Johnson. He was playing the guitar, and I asked him, I said, man, what is that sound you're making? So he pulled me aside and showed me, and from then on, it was like a drug. It was like you have to play. So I was awakened pretty early to it. And actually, I played piano first, and I quit, and then I was playing trumpet, and I quit, and I couldn't really find anything to stick. I was playing drums, and I kind of liked that, so I would do it every once in a while, but it wasn't anything serious. And then I turned to rap music, so I was becoming a rapper.
Wow!
And when I finally saw the guitar, I fell in love with that, and that was it. I mean, I don't think I rapped again. Not another word.
What kind of rap are we talking about here?
I was never anything bad. I wasn't going to go too far anyway. So, you know, it was just kind of, you know, just how it was back in the day before it was all this gangster stuff and all the stuff they do now. But
did you ever have any in school music education? Was that ever part of the agenda in your school?
No, it wasn't. Actually, I didn't. The school that I went to had a jazz band, and believe it or not, I was playing. Let me see. By the time I tried out for the band, I was playing almost professionally at the time.
Oh.
And I didn't make it in the band. I didn't make it in the jazz band. Isn't that ridiculous? It's the most ridiculous story.
Well, that's the irony of that is going to haunt me now for the rest of the day. That's weird.
It really, I basically went for the tryout, and at the time I wasn't reading sheet music very well.
Oh,
so
okay.
He put the sheet music in front of me. I happened to know the song, so I just started playing. And then when it came to soloing, I mean, I was soloing, I was doing everything, but he was watching my eyes. So he wasn't listening to anything I was playing. But jazz is improvisation, so, you know, you expect
exactly.
Somebody to be listening to what you're doing, but he was just watching my eyes the whole time. And so I didn't get into the jazz band, which is really the most ridiculous thing in the world. But
well, look at you now, baby. You know, look at you now. You're doing just fine. We're going to play this Gerald Veasley song. Set up Jujack Hustle for me, because I love that name. How'd that come to be? I love this song.
The title of the song came from my son, who was trying to find inventive ways to tell people to shut up at the time. And he wasn't allowed to say the word. So we kept saying, you're not allowed to say that. And so I remember him standing in the hallway one day, and I told him to do something, and he was obeying me, so he would not say shut up. And he looked in my eyes, and he just said, Jujack. And we all fell out laughing, and that just became the name of the song. So.
Because there was a movie out that had a similar name a few years ago, and it was such a cool movie. Robin Williams was in it. And one of the things I thought about is, this is it sounds like a great title for a movie, Jujack Hustle.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
You might let's speak that into existence. We need that.
Hey.
We need
all right then.
But yeah, and we basically we cut the track with a lot of live instrumentalists, and we were trying to make sure that, you know, we kept that whole Philadelphia kind of vibe in there with the live
music.
Man,
you sure do. Oh, this is so tasty. Get ready. David P. Stevens is our guest on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Jujack Hustle. Ow!
Thank you.
That is so tasty. Ow!
Thank you.
Oh, David T. Stevens. Man, that just rocked out. Tell me some of the folks that were involved on the CD, because this was a joint effort, to be sure. Gerald's doing his thing. Man, is he ever on that. Who else was involved?
On that particular song, there was a guy named Carl Cox, who Carl plays sax for everybody. I think he's on with Brian Culberson right now. I think he's on the road with him.
How about
he's
it?
He's in that group. He's in that group D4 that I was telling you about. And
okay.
There's a guy named Wardell Pearson who's actually the drummer for Vivian Green. He plays for her, and he was the one playing drums on that. And then I did everything else, the keys and guitar, and I wrote and produced the song as well.
Oh, man. Well, you did a great job. That is
Thank
some
you.
Kind of – well, you know what? That's not the first time I've heard the song, but now it's got a little kick in the pants. It's really awesome. You're working hard, and it's showing. Isn't it cool
Thank
to
you.
Know that you're evolving, progressing as an artist? Isn't that awesome?
It definitely is. It feels really good. It feels really good.
So tell me, do you, in the past few years, there's been a couple of radio endeavors I've done. I know the guys in All Up On It. I know the guys in Abstract Truth. And Wendell Pop Sewell still plays for Joel Veasley. Do you know all these guys?
Yeah, I know Wendell real well.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wendell and I have been corresponding, and we met because actually All Up On It was in my studio a couple of years ago. All of the guys were playing live in a studio I was in, and I'll never forget it. So since then, Pops and I have been trying to hook up and meet different places, and we never seem to do it. I have to pin him down, but like you, he's so busy too.
Oh, yeah, he plays for everybody. He's definitely definitely doing this thing.
Well, tell me what your take is. What are the clubs, where are people going to hear live music these days in Philadelphia?
There's actually, believe it or not, only a handful of places to go. There's, let's see, Relish Restaurant. I don't know, are we allowed to name names on the station? Or?
Oh, shoot. You can do anything you want to.
Okay. I know some stations don't let you say, but yeah, Relish, Warm Daddy's, and Firehouse Cafe are pretty much the only three main venues that everybody does. And then there's like Penn's Landing and different things like that that have jazz series during the summer. But for the most part, there's not a lot of contemporary jazz places to play.
Well, I'll bet you there are some places that play straight ahead, though, and I have to investigate that. And the irony is not lost in me because Firehouse is in New Jersey, right?
Right. That's in Mount Holly, New Jersey.
Yeah, and here we are. We're talking about a metropolitan city like Philadelphia, and you would think that well, you know what? Life is just going to change because you just mentioned a little while ago, talk that into existence, and mm-hmm. The secret always says just because things were a certain kind of situation doesn't mean that they're always going to be like that. So by
right.
this time next year, there could be 10 new places to go to hear music
right.
in Philadelphia and surrounding areas. So, and about the suburbs, do you know anything that's happening in the suburbs of Philly? Because I came from Jenkintown, and I don't even know what's happening there.
Believe it or not, there is, to my knowledge, nothing going on. I have not, as far as contemporary jazz, I mean, there's a lot of places that have singer-songwriters come in or rock groups or, you know, of that sort, but there's not too much going on for contemporary jazz. Now, as far as straight-ahead jazz, there is Chris's Jazz Cafe, and
yeah.
I believe they're getting ready to reopen Orleaves, but those are the straight-ahead. Yeah. So those are the straight-ahead. That's a rumor that I heard. I don't know, you know, factually or not, but.
I like that.
But as far as suburbs, believe it or not, there are not too many that I know about clubs that are booking people.
And actually, you know what I think the truth of the matter is, David? I think that a lot of these folks who are in the restaurant and nightery business are starting fresh. They don't know how to do the promotion and marketing, because I hear that different people are playing, but nobody gets the word out. They're not making use of social networking tools, Twitter or Facebook. Gosh, right. Nobody even talks about MySpace anymore, I don't think. But nobody's making use of the necessary tools where people go to day-to-day to get the word out. That's just insanity.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And even just the old means of sending things in the mail. I mean, if they don't want to get involved in doing all the social networking and marketing and everything, they could even just send brochures. I still look at stuff when it comes to the house before it goes to the trash can.
Thank you for your honesty.
But, I mean, I at least take a peek, and that's something that, you know, can't necessarily be completely thrown out, you know. They need to continue to take advantage of that as well.
Yeah. So. Well, I think people will get it together one of these days. You know, we always talk about in this neck of the woods anyway how artists make sure they need to take care of themselves. You know, you have a management team now, and that's great, but you're probably conscious of the fact that, you know, when you're on Facebook, you always want to tell people what's going on, or if you're on Twitter, you always want to update it. And like websites, you know, I haven't been, like, in the past few days to your website, because it's gone through some changes, hasn't it, Sanctify?
Sanctify.net, yes, has gone through some changes. And actually, it hasn't been updated since the summer. And there's been so much stuff that has gone on since the last time I did it in June.
I'll bet, yeah.
I have to spend the whole probably couple, 2 or 3 days really revamping it.
And see, that's the thing. You know, we're a few of us are going through this situation right now. We don't have the time to build the website, so we need somebody else to do it, because you can't possibly add on that with everything else that you're doing, you know?
Right. Yeah, right. It's a whole different skill set that I've had to learn on top of doing music, on top of doing everything else. So it can be challenging.
But if you find somebody who gets you and knows what you want, oh, my God, they are worth their weight in gold.
True.
Because
that is true.
You know, when you go to a website, that's somebody's signature. It can't look like, as Huggy Lowdown says, shiggity. It's got to look good.
Right.
So if you know somebody who reads your mind just a little bit and can do what you want it to do with you, just so that you can get the basic parameters of the website, and then you can retool it every day. Do maintenance, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, and what I was saying earlier, you know, I'm so used to having to do everything myself that was something that I took on. And actually, there's another site now, davidstevensmusic.com or davidstevensmusic.info. Either one of those people can go to find out what I'm doing. davidstevensmusic.com is probably the most recent.
Oh, really? That's great.
Right.
Cool. I wouldn't necessarily know about that, because you just told me, because I did a little bit of research about you, but I didn't find that.
Right. That's fairly new. And it was really just piloted, and I've been sending it around to a select few people, but that's the most recent site.
Wonderful. Okay, good to know. Now, hopefully, you know, you had sent me certain songs, and I recorded them. Now, I realized that I didn't have the single, and while we were listening to the other song, which I know like the back of my hand now, Juju Jack Hustle, I just love it so much. So I added another song that you sent to me. So this is the single.
Okay.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. This single actually was the song that grabbed the label's attention. I originally posted it as a demo, and they really fell in love with it and said, pull that song down immediately.
Really?
Right. So we did that, and it's featuring an amazing artist named Shamika Bird, and she used to go by the name Shamika Phoenix, and she's doing the vocals on there. She has an amazing album out herself. She's an incredible artist. But so it features that. We have a music video for it too, an official music video that was shot here in Philadelphia.
Oh, see, you're going to make me homesick. I just got a pang when you said that.
Yeah, I mean, if you see the video, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but there's so many shots of Philadelphia. I have to send you the link ASAP. As soon as we get off here, I'll send it to you.
Oh, I'm going to trip out. Tell me some of the places where it was shot, because I just want to envision some of the neighborhoods.
We were downtown in front of Capitol Grill on Broad and, what is that, Broad and, I think Broad and Chestnut or something like that.
Broad and Locust. Oh, my God, I'm just thinking of Broad and Locust something now. Okay.
Right. We were in the subway. That'll give you some great nostalgia.
Oh,
we did some subway shots. We had some stuff just walking down the Avenue of the Arts. I mean, just some nice Philly shots. And then there was the warehouse that we actually shot it in is now my recording studio. That's now where my performance space and recording studio and all that stuff is located. So it's an interesting video.
And the name of it is?
It's called Uptown.
And tell me this, because we're going to mention this a couple of times. If folks want to buy your music, where do they go?
You should go to Amazon.com and just type in David P. Stevens, and you'll see all the albums. Or you can go to iTunes also has all the albums listed. But right now, Amazon is where I'm charting the most. I've been at – somebody just called me today, actually, and said congratulations about being number one on Amazon. I had no idea, so I had to –
get out of here. Really?
Yep. It's been number one. It fluctuates between 1 and 15. It's been like that since June, I believe, when it came out.
Woo, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you. Good for you. Well, here we are. David P. Stevens is our guest on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and this is Uptown. Check this out.
Thank you.
Dancing. What a sexy song that is. I love that. Oh, oh. David
you.
T. Stevens. Oh, you are welcome. Uptown. And as a matter of fact, David, I have to tell you that, you know, I'm checking back and forth in our chat room and also Facebook. So Linda just made mention on Facebook that she really likes what she's hearing. And our good friend Griselda from Texas said that she's digging the vibe that she's hearing. She likes all the songs that she's heard.
Oh, thank you, ladies. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, it's so neat when you have people who are going, oh, 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 what was that?
And, you know, it really does, believe it or not, it feels so good because it's like people are actually getting what I was trying to say, and that really feels good. I think with that particular song, I think I wrote and played all the instruments and all of that stuff on there. So I was...
My gosh,
I wasn't sure what people were going to think at first, and so it's great to see the responses getting.
Oh, that's so cool. My gosh. A multi-instrumentalist as well as an engineer. You're the CEO of your own company. You're a producer. You're a guitarist. What else do you – well, you're a dad and a father and everything else to run a household. Lord, and you're overseeing your new construction, right?
Right, right. We're about 92% done on the construction of this property.
Well, by the time Christmas rolls around, you're going to have a lot to be thankful for.
Thank you. I hope so. I'm working like a dog, but
well,
good,
listen,
though.
don't forget now. You know, you got to balance that out. I'm telling you, as the Libra person as I am, whose birthday is the 16th of October, you got to balance that out so that you don't run yourself into the ground, because guys have a tendency to do that, you know.
That's true. That's true. Definitely.
Pay attention to your wife. Make sure you eat healthy stuff. She's a Harvard grad, for heaven's sake, so she knows a little bit about something. make sure you pay attention to her and keep yourself healthy, because you got a house full of children. So you got to be focused on the way in which they want their dad to fill the house with toys for the next several years.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, I think a balance is definitely what's needed. So.
Yeah.
You know
what to do.
Get in the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Besides, you're grounded in some really strong gospel roots, so you don't stray too far from that, which is fabulous. You learned a lot at an early age about who to be and who not to be.
Right.
So
right,
that makes all the difference in the world.
Definitely.
And I appreciate your time, because you have spent a little bit with us today. So thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, Trish. I hope you'll have me again.
Oh, listen, you know I'm going to, because I've kept an eye on you now for all this time. You know I've wanted to do this, and it just so happened that you were able to do this today, but you can best believe that we'll do this again, honestly.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and thank you for the press and everything that you've done on Facebook and all of that. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, you know, you're part of the family now, and Lord knows you're part of my Philadelphia roots. You think I'm going to forget? No.
All right.
And send me that link to the video, because I want to see, and I'll post it on my page.
Definitely. I'll do that as soon as possible.
All right. Very good. David P. Stevens, thank you very much. And we have now wonderful songs. I'll get the rest of the CD locked in so that we can keep things in a pretty regular rotation. And we'll keep in touch. You know that I will.
Definitely. Definitely. I appreciate
it. And tell your wife that I really appreciate her and what she does, because it's really rough to be a professional woman and a loving mom. And for her to strive for that, God bless her. I'll say some prayers for both of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I will definitely let her know. I'm going to let her hear the interview.
Oh, good. Very good. Yes. As a matter of fact, when the interview is archived, I'm going to make sure that I send you that link so you'll have it on your page too.
Okay, great. Great.
All right, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you something. This is really a trip to do this show. You have no idea how much of a pleasure it is when you're able to do something like this and bring some artists to the forefront who may not necessarily get the chance to be heard. For David P. Stevens to get a forum at all, it's just an absolute pleasure. This is the outro music that Daoud Saeed has custom made for his buddy Trish. And I'm really grateful to all the folks who are in the chat room. I agree, sister friend. It says what a sweetie David is. David P. Stevens is a sweetie. And Amazon.com, if you want to check out his music and buy some of it, it's just so worthwhile. He's turned out a couple of projects, and each one of them is just a revelation. Love his guitar playing. Hey, Thursday, check it out. Wallace Roney will be here. And then on Friday, we have an extra show because I found out that Carmen Souza is going to be in Washington, D.C., a gal who blends her Cape Verdean roots growing up in Portugal, a little folklore, a little folk music, a lot of jazz, some global effects coming at you all at once with this incredible voice. So she's going to be with us here on Friday, so three shows this week. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless. We'll see you on Thursday with Wallace.